This is Akashvani. In the weekly program Current Affairs, now we bring you a discussion on Winter Session of Parliament 2024. The participants are Vinay Kumar and Sandeep Phukan, political analysts. The moderator is Aditi Tandon, journalist.
The Winter Session of Parliament concluded this morning on a very somber note. We saw the political discourse, the parliamentary discourse hit new lows, and what we saw yesterday during the clashes between the ruling BJP and NDA side and the opposition Congress-led India side over the issue of B.R. Ambedkar and constitution was rather unprecedented in the annals of parliamentary history. Of course, we saw during the winter session some key bills being introduced. For example, major electoral reform, which is through the One Nation, One Election bill that was introduced by Union Law Minister Arjun Ram Meghwal. We also saw the parliamentary committee looking at the Waqf law amendment, getting an extension until the budget session of the parliament next year. Plus, we saw some bills being passed after brief discussions, let's say, and a major part of the winter session being devoted to the discussion on the constitution and its adoption, the 75th anniversary of its adoption. We have a report from our correspondent Sudhindra on the winter session of the parliament.
The winter session of parliament concluded today amid protests and pandemonium. The Lok Sabha registered over 54% productivity, while the Rajya Sabha 40% during the session. The session provided 20 sittings of Lok Sabha and 19 sittings of Rajya Sabha. Looking back at the sessions, the Adani issue raised by the opposition and US billionaire George Soros' alleged link with the Congress resonated since the House met on 25th last month. Multiple adjournments marred the proceedings. Both upper and lower houses, however, held meaningful debate on 75 years of journey of Indian Constitution as part of the year-long celebration. Many interesting facets of the journey of our constitutions were shared by the members. Dr. Ambedkar's contribution as the architect of our constitution was widely discussed. Sometimes the allegations led to severe objections and uproar in the House. A statement by Home Minister Amit Shah and opposition members regarding Dr. Ambedkar led to protests outside the House. The discussion on the constitution engaged the Lok Sabha for more than 15 hours, in which 62 members took part and was replied by Prime Minister Narendra Modi. In Rajya Sabha, the discussion engaged the House for over 17 hours, in which 80 members took part and was replied by Home Minister Amit Shah. During the winter session, sometimes the allegations led to severe objections and uproar in the House. During the protest on the statement of Dr. Ambedkar, two BJP members were injured at the venue of the protest. Stalemate continued between the ruling and opposition members on issues including a no-confidence motion against Rajya Sabha Chairman Jagdeep Dhankar. In between all this, the Houses also discussed and passed legislations.
Vinay, let me begin with you. How do you see the overall flavor of the winter session of parliament? What's this abiding sense that it leaves?
The depth of the political discourse and the speeches was, I feel, not very up to the mark, as it should have been in keeping with the dignity, depth of parliament and our parliamentarians. But after that, the washout by protests by the opposition and a few bills being passed, that was very nominal business, I would say. The government was very keen on pushing through its two main agendas, namely, as you pointed out, Waqf Amendment Bill, which was already given to the JPC, and the opposition was demanding. They wrote a letter also to Lok Sabha Speaker Om Birla seeking extension of JPC, and because much work needed to be done by the JPC, and that extension was given till the end of budget session. So, and the other ambitious agenda of the government was to introduce One Nation, One Election bills, which needs a constitutional amendment, 129th amendment it will be. So government succeeded in that, in the penultimate day of the session. So overall, if you see from the government's legislative point of view, legislative business, much of the time I feel was lost. But on these two, the government, on the Waqf bill, the government heeded to the opposition's demand, and the due extension was given to JPC and One Nation, One Election, as Prime Minister himself was very keen that it needs in-depth discussions. So it will be in the fitness of things that JPC should go into it. And we have seen now JPC being formed. 7 members of Rajya Sabha, I think, and 12 or 14 members of Lok Sabha have been nominated to the JPC. So it will be a comprehensive, I think, discussion in JPC, threadbare discussion. So overall, if you see, but the happenings outside Parliament House, That made much more news than the legislative business and the debates inside both the houses.
Like Vinay said, Sandeep, that happenings outside the parliament were more dominant of the political narrative than what was happening inside the parliament. I want to understand from you what we saw yesterday, especially. Two MPs of the BJP were hospitalized. Then there were counter complaints, police complaints by the Congress as well as the BJP to the Delhi police. And late night, we also saw an FIR against leader of opposition, Mr. Rahul Gandhi. Just in a day yesterday, we saw so many letters being written by rival sides to the presiding officers of both sides. We saw one woman MP of the BJP, tribal MP from Nagaland, write to presiding officer of Rajya Sabha and Vice President Jagdeep Dhankar, alleging misconduct by Mr. Gandhi. Then we saw a Congress MP write a parallel letter to Speaker denying charges. So where is the political discourse headed? I mean, are political adversaries now becoming political enemies? Because that's what it appeared yesterday.
Well, I wouldn't go as far as to say that they have become enemies, but certainly ties between opposition benches and treasury benches have hit a new low. We all saw what happened in the course of the two protests that were being taken out within the parliament complex. And then the rather unfortunate incident where there was pushing and shoving, each side alleging that we were pushed and by the other side. And then eventually, you know, leading to injury of two MPs. So one can say that at least, you know, I've been covering parliament for more than 20 years now. I haven't seen this kind of ruckus outside during protests. I do remember on one occasion, and I'm sure Vinay will also remember, that on the day of the Telangana, creation of the Telangana state, when that bill was being brought in, at that point of time, I had seen ruckus being created inside the house, inside Lok Sabha. There were some Andhra MPs who were desperate to somehow prevent the bill from being passed, you know, being tabled and eventually being passed by the house. But this is certainly a new low because it reflects very poorly on a couple of aspects, on floor management of both sides. Because, as you rightly said, both sides are political adversaries. And they will definitely have to do business together. Parliament belongs to both the sides, the opposition as well as the ruling side. As the old saying goes, the opposition must have its say, but the government will have its way. So, as Vinay pointed out, it was not at all a productive session. The news that one heard was actually from outside the session of clashes, of protests. And I also believe that the opportunity that one had, a wonderful debate that could have taken place over the 2 days that we saw, actually 4 days, if you take 2 days of Rajya Sabha and 2 days of Lok Sabha, you know, the standard of the debate was not up to the mark. Eventually, the debate was well conducted, but it was more like a tutu meme, which should not, I mean, in my opinion, which should not have been the case. There was an opportunity to look at the past and learn from it and also discuss something about the future. I think parliamentarians also should remember that they are role models to our youngsters, to a lot of people look up to them. And if they do not present themselves in good light, then it's a sad commentary. But in a parliamentary democracy, these things do happen. It's not as if that everything is lost. I don't want to paint a completely gloomy picture. These things do happen. But I think both sides, the one thing that I would want to stress on is that there should be, as you rightly said, you all are political adversaries, not political enemies. And they will have, both sides will have to find a common ground and do business. And that happens. We have seen so many cases I can cite. For example, the land boundary agreement, the transfer of land to Bangladesh. You remember that incident? UPA had brought the bill. Somehow, at that point of time, BJP, which was in opposition, did not agree. Eventually, when BJP came to power, late Sushma Swaraj was the external affairs minister. I recall covering the debate, and she said that I only changed the date. Everything else remains the same. And in a true spirit of bipartisanship, that bill was passed. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we've seen such instances, and they should actually set the example on not what we saw recently.
Vinay, I just want to take a cue from what Sandeep said, that it is up to the MPs really to set an example. They are political representatives, they are representatives of the people. But what we saw during this session, what you just initially quickly mentioned also, a growing distrust, not only between the Treasury and the opposition MPs, but also distrust between the opposition and the presiding officer. In the Rajya Sabha, the 60 MPs of the opposition signing an unprecedented notice seeking a motion for the removal of the vice president, who happens to be the chairperson of the Rajya Sabha. Of course, the notice was yesterday rejected by Deputy Chairperson Harivansh on technical grounds, and the rejection notice also said that it was brought in haste to mar the reputation of the chair. So these signs are very dangerous for general polity and parliamentary democracy. What do you have to say on that?
This is indeed very dangerous and unprecedented also on some scale, because we have seen just a couple of instances before that, and that too not pertaining to the vice president or chairman of the Rajya Sabha. And opposition leaders, I recall seeing a statement by Jairam Ramesh, Congress General Secretary and a senior MP, that they were very pained to bring this motion of no trust motion against the vice president and chairman of Rajya Sabha, because in the opinion of opposition, he was conducting the house in a very partisan manner, and his conduct was biased towards, leaning towards the ruling party. So even for the opposition to have even an iota of doubt on presiding officer, it does not behove very well on the parliamentary democracy, the system which we have. And as Sandeep was pointing out towards the past debates and the conduct of Lok Sabha and Rajya Sabha, because over the past three decades, I have also seen and covered both Rajya Sabha and Lok Sabha. And often I would see presiding officers like Mr. Sangma or Somnath Chatterjee, those who are Lok Sabha speakers, or Mr. Shivraj Patil, leaning upon the experience and the trust and the vast kind of reputation which the elderly MPs had in the house. For that matter, Mr. Indrajit Gupta of CPI, Chandrasekhar ji, who became our Prime Minister, they would lean upon them to bring about a sense of decorum and dignity in the house. I remember Chandrasekhar ji intervening at the instance of presiding officer, speaker in Lok Sabha, to set things in proper perspective. So was Atal Bihari Vajpayee, who was the leader of the opposition, or Mr. Advani for that matter. So that sense of accommodation always used to be there. And as Sandeep was saying, both the treasury benches and the opposition have to sit together. There is a business advisory council which meets and which decides the business, what will happen in the Lok Sabha and Rajya Sabha. After all, after the all-party meeting, the protests were curtailed. They were called off. So why to waste time and the money of the public to waste the time of legislature, of parliament? So these things, if you see, I mean, since we have seen those times in both the houses, so it only indicates towards this trend of aggression and riding roughshod over your political adversaries and bringing them down by hook or crook. These things were not there. We have seen the way the Sushma Swaraj or Arun Jaitley, they used to speak from BJP benches when BJP was in opposition.
Vinay is essentially saying is that the equilibrium is getting lost somewhere. You know, you used to actually veer down to the equilibrium. You used to fight and then you used to resolve. But that balance has been disrupted somewhere. Sandeep, what appeared during the winter session of Parliament, and we have seen this pattern over a few past sessions also. I would like to draw both of you experts into this very important pattern, where what we see is that the Parliament session eve has a certain burning issue which the opposition brings. Mostly we've seen that, you know, starting from Pegasus scam, then we also had the George Soros issue. Now, latest issue on the eve of the Parliament session in the winter session was the US court indictment of Adani. And of course, the opposition used that as a major fodder and brought that up. That was the reason why the initial few days were disrupted. Then we saw a change in the narrative of the opposition. Opposition demanded a debate on the constitution, which was eventually granted. Then after the debate started, we saw the narrative shift to Mr. late B.R. Ambedkar, architect of the Indian constitution, and eventually to the conduct of MPs yesterday. So, you know, this extremely aggressive oscillation of political narratives and using the parliament literally as an instrument of competing political narratives, which essentially is a subject of outside the parliament, like you both pointed out initially. So how do you dwell on that? Because it's very confusing.
Exactly. So I return to the same point. Both of us have actually covered parliament for a very long time, and we've seen there would be very fierce debates and arguments, and there would be disruptions earlier as well. The point is that eventually precious time is being lost. Resources are being spent. It is taxpayers who are paying for the expenses of holding a parliament session. And if laws are not being passed, or if they are being passed without a debate, that is also no good. There are very important aspects that come out, and the government can gain from. It's not as if that our parliamentarians are, they are very knowledgeable. It's not as if that they do not know or they do not have subject expertise. They do. But if the House doesn't function, then these things don't come out. When you hear people talk, when actually a debate takes place, it's a pleasure to, you know, hear so many of these parliamentarians. I was listening to so many lawyer turned politician in the Rajya Sabha speak so eloquently on the different provisions of the constitution, historic milestones that were achieved during the framing of the constitution. So as I said that, yeah, there were some very good speeches, but overall I got the sense that we lost an opportunity. It could have been far better instead of just that we did this and you did that. So
on the debate to mark the 75th anniversary of the adoption of the constitution, which was actually a milestone event, not just in the journey of the country, but also in the journey of the parliament. Like Sandeep said, that it was an opportunity. And we saw both sides field heavyweights. Prime Minister himself replied to the debate in the Lok Sabha. Union Home Minister replied to the debate in the Rajya Sabha. Priyanka Gandhi Vadra, whose maiden appearance, she just took oath recently, and it was her first parliament session. She opened the debate from the opposition side in Lok Sabha. So, you know, we had all these heavyweights. Vinay, what I want you to tell us is, wasn't it ironical that Dr. B.R. Ambedkar, the one figure that symbolizes unity and integrity of the country, the father of the Indian constitution, the chairperson of the drafting committee.
It was very unfortunate and tragic to see this kind of ruckus happening in the name of Baba Saheb Ambedkar. And we know there are many political parties who owe their existence to Dr. B.R. Ambedkar. And rightly so, the aspirations of the classes, the oppressed classes and underprivileged classes, they draw their inspiration from our constitution, from Dr. B.R. Ambedkar's philosophy of equality, equal opportunities, and the strength which the constitution gives to them, the rights given by the constitution to them. So instead of, you know, what I found was that instead of going, having some kind of historical background and perspective in the debates, as Sandeep said, you know, rightly said, that our parliamentarians are knowledgeable. They have a research team to come up with ideas. That was missing, because this generation, which we are seeing in India today and which Prime Minister Modi often, you know, refers to as the aspirational class, people have become very aspirational. They have a lot of hope and expectations from the government on the development front, on taking the country to become a developed nation. They should know the historical perspective and background of our constitution. How many women were there in Constituent Assembly? How it was framed? All those things could have been brought to light in this debate. I mean, at that time, the framing of constitution, so many women were involved in Constituent Assembly debates. That itself is a very, very good and very positive and very constructive sign.
Right, let's take up the bills. The bills passed by the Lok Sabha in the winter session of Parliament include the Banking Laws Amendment Bill 2024, the Railways Amendment Bill 2024, the Disaster Management Amendment Bill 2024, and the Appropriation Number 3 Bill 2024. On the Rajya Sabha side, three bills were passed. These include the Oil Fields Regulation and Development Amendment Bill 2024, the Bharatiya Vayuyan Vidhayak 2024, and the Boilers Bill 2024. Both houses of parliament managed to pass only one bill in the winter session. This bill is the Bharatiya Vayuyan Vidhayak 2024. Though not all was lost in this winter session, we had the introduction of a very important reform bill, as we all discussed just now, the One Nation, One Election Bill, two bills were introduced, the Constitution Amendment in order to synchronize the Lok Sabha and State Assembly elections, and another bill to alter the durations of the UTs. So, Sandeep, just quickly comment on the One Nation, One Election issue and also the Vayuyan Vidhayak that was passed and the Railways bill that was passed.
In the case of the One Nation, One Election, this is a, as you rightly said, this is a bill with that will have far-reaching consequences, not only with regard to tenure of the Lok Sabha, but also it will impact state elections. A lot of parties wanted that it should be examined in further detail. Home Minister Amit Shah had intervened in the debate and said that Prime Minister himself had asked for more wider consultation. So it has been sent to a joint parliamentary committee, which has been approved today.
Let's listen to Aviation Minister Mr. Ram Mohan Naidu. He was speaking about the bill while moving it in the Lok Sabha during the budget session.
This bill aims to regulate and control the design, manufacture, maintenance, possession, use, operation, sale, export and import of aircraft, alongside matters connected therewith or incidental thereto. Just to give a brief update on why we had to bring the bill. The bill is from a pre-independence era, which has been brought in 1934, and it was called the Aircraft Act. The Indian Aircraft Act, which was brought in 1934, has gone under several changes over the years. And in fact, up to the tune of 21 amendments were made, and 21 number of times where there have been changes brought to these through various sections which were amended in the Act also. Now, because of this, the whole structuring of the Act itself has led to a lot of ambiguity, contradictions, and in terms of the powers and functions of certain internal organizations like the DGCA, BCAS, and other provisions which are supposed to be there in the Act, they are not well structured. And because of this, there was a dire need to structurize the whole bill into a very, to structurize the bill once again. And that is why we have brought the Act again.
The Aircraft Amendment Act, that essentially the main reform that they seek is that most pilots have to get hold of what is called as a radio telephony operator certificate license. Now, in earlier days, this used to be given by the Department of Telecom. This bill has actually brought it under the ambit of the DGCA, the Director General of Civil Aviation. And then there have been other changes to the Act, like to encourage investments in the aviation sector, more safety and security measures have been added. And as far as the Railway Amendment Bill is concerned, you know, the important takeaway from that debate, Aditi, I would say, is what the Railway Minister, Mr. Ashwini Vaishnaw, said, that in the backdrop of allegations that eventually the government of India wants to do away with the railways and they will privatize the railway, he said that a fake narrative has been in circulation. And he assured the House that the railways will never be privatized. I think that was the biggest takeaway from that debate on railways, that from the Railway Amendment Act debate.
And also we had one bill that was discussed regarding the Banking Laws Amendment Bill, which pertained to really the change of the tenure of boards of the directors of the banks. And it also will bring far-reaching reforms. Finance Minister Nirmala Sitharaman spoke while the Banking Law Amendment Bill 2024 was tabled in the Lok Sabha during the winter session of Parliament.
Amendment to the banking regulations, sir, which actually revises the reporting dates for the submission of statutory reports by banks to the Reserve Bank of India from reporting Friday, every Friday, to the last day of the fortnight, month or the quarter. So this change will ensure consistency in reporting, sir, and that will make it easier for even those who want to observe the Indian economy or the way in which banks follow statutory reporting. Amendments to the Banking Regulation Act is extending the tenure of the directors, excluding those of the chairman and the whole-time directors in cooperative banks from 8 years to 10 years.
Coming to the Waqf Act, Vinay, which is also a very important reform, although it is being discussed outside House right now. Again, you know, some acrimonious scenes were witnessed during the committee meetings. So how do you react to that? And also the fact that the government did eventually concede to the opposition's demand for an extension to the panel.
I feel that opposition was right in demanding an extension because they want to visit several other states. They want to speak to the stakeholders. They have some reservations about some some of the provisions which are in the Waqf Amendment Bill. So all these misgivings will be, I think, sorted out when we have threadbare discussion in JPC from different political perspectives. And there are other misgivings also in the Waqf pertaining to the functioning of the Waqf boards in the country, that they are the largest landholders, and some of the MPs in the JPC pointed out that these are all land donated by the persons, and Waqf Board does not interfere in running of the mosques and other things. So the government's intention is to bring about a reform in the way Waqf Board functions in the country. And there are concerns of the opposition as well, and several other MPs also. So it should be, I think, a balanced approach, which JPC, after its discussions, it should not be hurried, because it's a sensitive subject. It pertains to the minorities in our country. So I think JPC will, in totality, will take a view, very balanced view. And senior BJP MP Jagdambika Pal is heading that JPC. So the government also wants to, by this action, the government has also indicated that they want on board all the views of from different political perspectives. So I think it's a welcome step. And after the JPC report, we may see a very balanced amendment to the Waqf Bill and provisions.
Coming to the One Nation, One Election Bill that was introduced and referred to the Joint Committee of Parliament this morning. Former President Ramnath Kovind, who had headed the high-level committee that drafted this particular subject and recommended that we should have this particular reform, has said that if this is achieved by the country, it will add 1.5% to the Indian GDP. In fact, he, through Mr. N.K. Singh, who did a financial kind of a modulation and calculation for the committee as to how much money will this reform save, former President Kovind is on record to say that instead of 5 lakh crore of annual expenditure currently incurred through the election cycles, states, municipal bodies and panchayats plus Lok Sabha, that will be reduced to 50,000 crore only. Vinay, quickly your comments on this particular bill.
This also, I will only say that what the Prime Minister's intention was in referring this, he made it known through Home Minister that it should be done through JPC with wider consultations. So I think till 60s it was one pole, but after that we saw creation of new states like Tripura and Nagaland, and the state assemblies getting disrupted in their tenure. They were not able to complete their tenure. Lok Sabha, in quick succession, we have seen elections happening in Lok Sabha when coalition era began. So some of the factors were beyond the control of the government, of election commission, of the body politics. So that is how we saw so many elections happening at the interval of 1 year or 2 years in Lok Sabha. In 96 we saw, 99 we saw. Then again, after that, we have seen 5 year term getting completed by the Lok Sabha. And state assemblies, we all know what kind of tenure they were not able to complete. So opposition's fears and apprehensions are on that account. But if we can achieve this, and it will be, I think, more than a decade before we can do this, synchronize this, not through the legislative amendments, but also by the arrangement which the Election Commission has to make.
Vinay, I think there is also a legitimate concern by the opposition parties and also state governments that if you align state elections with the national elections, then what happens to regional parties? Does it give an advantage, natural advantage, to the national parties, because they will also be contesting the state elections? Mm-hmm. Whereas in many states, we know that the state regional parties are the bigger player. So I think there are legitimate concerns by the opposition parties. And I attended the debate, and one concern that repeatedly came up was that will the states become subservient to the center? Because both are seen as independent entities. They have their, you have the state list, you have the union list, you have the concurrent list. So one does not encroach upon the other. So these issues, I think, need a little more debate and wider debate before actually a decision is taken.
Because in many states, Sandeep, we have seen multi-phase elections happening.
Yes.
So it won't be very easy.
A quick thing that we need to take note of also is that during his reply to the debate on constitution in the Lok Sabha, Prime Minister made a very strong pitch for a secular civil court. He said that the framers of the Indian constitution during the debates in Constituent Assembly had left it to the wisdom of subsequent governments and had actually believed that some government someday will bring the uniform civil code. So on that note, thank you so much for your time.
You were listening to a discussion on Winter Session of Parliament 2024. The participants were Vinay Kumar and Sandeep Phukan, political analysts. The moderator was Aditi Tandon, journalist. This program was produced and presented by the News Services Division of Akashvani. You can listen to it on our mobile app, News on AIR. This program is also available on our YouTube channel, News on AIR Official.